Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
You know, on our Sunday night blowout into a manic Monday NFL blowout, our commitment to you is that we get to every single game. So that way, if you don't hear it live, you can always go back and get it on the After Hours with Amy Lawrence podcast. The link will be posted within minutes of the show wrapping up in the next hour. And so you can find it on Twitter, After Hours CBS, on our Facebook page too. We know many of you have it bookmarked or you catch it on any of the other services that offer up podcasts for your listening pleasure. Someone asked me at church yesterday, is your podcast on Spotify? And so I wasn't expecting that with the fourth and fifth graders, but he was a high school student. He wasn't a fourth and fifth grader. I think they know what I do for a living, but I don't think they have any clue what it means when I tell them I talk on the radio. A little bit older, and then they'll kind of get it. So yes, wherever you get your podcast, it is available. But we do post the link multiple times throughout the day on both of our social media sites. So you can find it there every game. That's our commitment, which means we have no time to waste. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning to you. If you're in the Northeast, really along the Atlantic coast, you're inundated with... She's not a hurricane, but she's a tropical storm, Ophelia, and she's not moving. I heard that on my way into work. Ophelia is parked just off the Atlantic coast. Great. So she just keeps spinning and dropping more water. I mean, can you move on already? We got to get to some drier weather. I miss the sun. Haven't seen it all weekend, but watching some of the games taking place in the stadiums that are along the Atlantic coast or in the Northeast, I could feel their pain, like Patriots and Jets in a monsoon, the Ravens, Commanders. Those games were all taking place with a lot of rain. So that was part of the equation. It did not in any way affect the Raiders. So I'm not sure what their excuse is. Once again, the Raiders jump on top of their opponent, and this in their home opener on Sunday Night Football. They were hosting the Steelers right away. I think it was second drive, but the second week in a row, they're on the board with a Devontae Adams touchdown grab. And the Raiders look like they're in a good position to start. Except it's been a house of cards. It was last week against the Bills. It was against this week, against the Steelers. Because Pittsburgh is able to answer right back and erase that lead almost instantly.
Third down and 7 now for the Steelers. Pickett in the gun. 3 receivers right, single man to the left. Allen Robinson in motion from right to left. Pickett waits, takes the shotgun snap, back to pass, rush coming. Pickett looks, loads up, going deep down the field. Got a man that's caught. 25-20, 15, 10-5. Touchdown Steelers. Pickett hung it out in front, and the catch was made by Calvin Austin, and he takes it in.
I'm sorry, does that sound like a Raiders hometown crowd? In any way, shape, or form. Now, we know the black and gold travels extremely well. The Steelers fans represent, but it felt like a Steelers home game. And according to our guest, Hondo Carpenter, who joined us live in the first hour to talk about this Raiders loss, if you care at all about Jimmy Garoppolo, Josh McDaniels, the Raiders, what they're trying to do there, definitely catch that interview on the podcast because he made some very pointed remarks. Honestly, it doesn't look any better than it was with Derek Carr. And yet Josh McDaniels wanted Derek Carr out of town. He wanted Jimmy Garoppolo if he couldn't have Tom Brady. Well, Tom Brady's kind of his boss now. Anyway, it was ineptitude the rest of the half for Las Vegas, even into the third quarter. So they have a pair of Garoppolo interceptions that lead to points for the Steelers. Most importantly, the Patrick Peterson pick in the third quarter, because Mike Tomlin loves him some Pat P. This turned into one of the best drives that I've seen for Kenny Pickett, for the Steelers offense. It was chunk plays. They were able to pick up multiple first downs, move the ball with authority, and they were aggressive and ultimately able to cap that drive with a score.
Now this fake, bootleg left, throws for the end zone, touchdown Steelers, Pat Freiermuth, his second of the year, and Kenny Pickett feels it.
Even in Las Vegas, you're hearing the smooth cheers for the tight end with his second TD of the season, Bill Hillgrove, on Steelers radio, and Ryan Radke before that on Westwood One. Now, we've seen the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde component of the Pittsburgh offense, and the Steelers did stall in the fourth quarter. So Vegas is able to find a rhythm, and Devontae Adams gets another touchdown pass there in the fourth quarter. An 80-yard drive by the Raiders. It's not like they can't move the ball. It's just, it's so inconsistent. So Devontae ends up with this monster game, 13 catches, 172 yards, a couple of scores, but ultimately weird decision-making at the very end. I just said ultimately twice in like the same 60 seconds. Don't know why. So Josh McDaniels has got his team in position, right? They're trailing by 8. They have to have a touchdown. No matter what, they have to get into the end zone. Whether they get a 2-point conversion or whether they get a touchdown and then they stop the Steelers, get the ball back, and go for a game-winning field goal. Either way, they have to get in the end zone. And so he watches Jimmy Garoppolo steer the Raiders into, and actually this was after a penalty by the Steelers on what would have been a field goal try by the Raiders. They end up committing a costly penalty and give the Raiders new life. So Las Vegas moves to the 8-yard line. It's 4th and 4 on the 8-yard line with just over 2 minutes to go. And instead of going for the touchdown and potentially the 2-point conversion, which they had just gotten with the Devontae Adams TD, they settle for a field goal. I do not get it. It leaves you still trailing by 5. You still need a field goal. Or excuse me, you still need a touchdown. If you had at least gotten the TD, gotten in the end zone there, at least you have a shot at the 2-pointer in the tie. And so McDaniels had to answer questions after the game about why he settled for the field goal with 2.5 minutes to go.
When the score was what it was, we needed multiple possessions to go, you know, we needed to do the right thing with multiple possessions. So, you know, whether we were mixing in the tempo. We were mixing in, you know, huddling, trying to still stay with some of the runs, you know, in the second half there in the fourth quarter where they're playing split safety defense and trying to really take away Devontae and Jacoby and some of the receiver play, you know, and that's when, you know, Josh hit a couple of the runs there in the fourth quarter. So, you know, just trying to do the right thing, trying to be productive as best we can. And like I said, mixing in the tempo as we went.
That has nothing to do with why you can't get 4 yards from the 4-yard line and get into the end zone. Again, at least you give yourself a shot at going for TD and 2-point conversion to tie the score there. And producer Jay makes a good point, said in my ear, not just that, if you misfire or you somehow don't get into the end zone, you've got them pinned deep in their own territory. And the Steelers had done nothing with their last 3 to 4 drives. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. True to form, the Steelers did nothing with their possession, and the Raiders did end up getting it back.
At a critical moment of the football game, and the Raiders start 1st and 10 at their 15, and they trail by 5. Steelers in the dime, empty set. Garoppolo does call in a blocker to his left in Abdullah. Gets the snap. He wants to throw it. 4-man rush. Pocket collapses. He throws it down the field. It's intercepted. And that is Levi Wallace, intended for Adams. And the Steelers seal the deal. He stayed in bounds.
What a play by Levi Wallace. That was sensational. Come over the top and over the top coverage.
For a victory, man, all 3 phases It's good, man, to stack victories. We got to make winning a habitual thing, man. Just to stack winning performance on top of winning performance is significant. But it's also our first opportunity to play on the road in a hostile environment, this being their home opener. We had to manage that component of the game.
I want to be a habitual winner. I want to stack habitual wins, Mike Tomlin, as only Mike Tomlin can. That's two in a row for the Steelers and two dominant performances by the defense. I was talking about this last week as well. It was Monday night, right, that the Steelers played last week. TJ Watt on Sunday night, two sacks, three more quarterback hits, two tackles for loss. But honestly, they put a lot of pressure on Jimmy Garoppolo, and he never did. It seemed like he never did have a clean look at the field. Nothing about.
Anytime there.
Sorry. Whoa, I'm sorry, TJ. Would you like to go or would you like me to go? Can I finish or would you like to? You just go. It's just go.
Anytime they're chipping as much as they were tonight or anytime they weren't chipping, we were trying to make it our best effort to make the pass rush as hot as possible. And I think we did a good job of keeping them under duress tonight. And it helps when we have them in those obvious passing situations where we can pin ears back. And obviously when the guys in the back end are playing as well as they were tonight, it helps have that quarterback hold it for just a split second longer.
I think Jimmy makes a lot of good plays, but obviously when the quarterback holds the ball, he holds the fortune of our team also in his hands, you know, when he's doing those things. And he understands the situation and, had a couple plays where, you know, we got to make a smarter choice and just go ahead and go to the next play, whether it's second and long or whatever it may be. But turning it over, this team is a team historically that, you know, they win when they get turnovers and, you know, they have a harder time when they don't, you know. And so a big key, obviously, was for us to take care of the ball. We didn't do a good enough job of that tonight.
For some reason, we did not hear from Jimmy Garoppolo. Oh, that's why. We found out later from Hondo Carpenter, our guest with SI, who was in Vegas, that he was in concussion protocol. Not sure what happened. He was in the locker room, I guess, initially, and then Hondo said they took him away to concussion protocol. Devontae Adams was speaking, though, and boy, when he speaks, you better listen.
I haven't said anything. Sometimes you need some time to process and figure out what exactly to say. So, you know, we heard from Coach, and we had a few conversations individually, but, it's tough because this is a really good team. We have a lot of potential. I would say that you're not a good team until you prove it. But this team has some potential. We got the players. We just got to figure out how to play together on both sides of the ball and stop putting ourselves in such tough to overcome positions, you know. And we had way too many of those today. And, you know, whether it's penalties or, you know, sacks or, you know, we didn't make the play outside, whatever it was, got to take care of the ball. And it's just, that's not how we look at all these analytics and all these things, teams that have won with the turnover battle and all these things, and it don't mean shit until you go out there and you play ball. And we're having a tough time consistently doing that right now. And I don't want to act like it's all crazy. It's week three, but I don't got time to wait around.
Devontae Adams frustrated with the way they've started out now. And so you've got a 1-2 Raiders team that is, well, not in the basement of the AFC West, but doesn't appear to have any forward momentum, despite the fact that McDaniels got the quarterback he wanted. They have Josh Jacobs, who he's still not over 100 yards, but at least he did get a few more rushing yards last night. Hunter Renfrow, it seems as though he's in the doghouse. Like, this is Bill Belichick, and somehow Renfrow's in his doghouse because we're not getting a bunch of him either, or really anything. It's been, what, three catches, something like that, for Renfrow since the start of the season? So a lot of questions around the Raiders, and the heat maybe turned up a little bit under the feet of Josh McDaniels. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Steelers moved to 2-1, and they look to have a better rhythm. It's not going to be the defense. It's going to be the offense and how quickly they can settle in. Now, at the top of that division, the Baltimore Ravens were trying to move to 3-0 on Sunday against the Colts, and it was Gardner Minshew who was starting this game. And actually, we know Gardner can fly all over the field, right? He's like an Energizer bunny. He's got a ton of energy. He leads a 73-yard scoring drive in the second quarter, And it includes a 17-yard touchdown pass to Zach Moss. Though the Colts still trailed by a field goal at the break, Lamar Jackson was able to get into the end zone with a rushing TD. Once again, though, now this partly could be the weather, but Baltimore had a couple of fumbles in the first half. And so they kind of do the one step forward, two steps back type of thing as well, because of the fact that they don't always take care of the football, right? So Baltimore is able to lead the break, and then they're kind of going back and forth and exchanging field goals in the second half. Gardner Minshew gets sacked in the end zone for a safety, right? So the Baltimore defense, despite the weather, despite having lost a few people, they're still physical and tough. And the field goals are usually a good sign, right? Because if you can keep the opponent out of the end zone, that's great. Except there was no stopping Matt Gay on Sunday. Generally, when we talk about the Ravens, we talk about their kicker and Justin Tucker, who is as close to automatic as you can imagine. But weirdly enough, it wasn't the case on Sunday.
61-yard try. Tucker's kick is on the way. It's tracking down the middle. It is just short and no good.
He didn't get under all the way.
It takes us to the final second of regulation, and we are going to go to overtime here in week three.
Jerry Sandusky with the call there on Ravens Radio. You may have noticed in a few of the places where the weather was really bad, their satellite feeds were kind of wonky and were cutting out a little bit. So you can hear that with Jerry. So Justin Tucker's face when he missed the 61-yarder, as if that's automatic for Justin, and he really did expect to hit it. But they go into overtime, and sometimes we like to say free football or extra football or you get your money's worth, except the first four possessions of the overtime between the Colts and the Ravens, just awful.
Different offense with Minshew.
I think I forgot about Minshew. Minshew, your second grade teacher.
Very confident backup.
Minshew. I believe, if I remember correctly, I'm going to kind of go back and look at the play-by-play for the game. But each team had a three and out, and then each team turned the ball over on downs. So it was brutal for four possessions. So they get down to the very end of this one. Now, on the Ravens' second possession in overtime, they had a fourth down opportunity. And I will say this straight up. If you watch the NFL, you see a fair number of pass interference calls that are just strange. And I generally don't love PI anyway, unless you're mugging someone. But the rules are the rules. It's a judgment call, right? It goes and it differs from field to field and from official to official. But it seemed pretty clear that there was a missed pass interference call on the fourth down, which then, when flipped, gave Indianapolis the short field. All right, so enter Matt Gay, stage left, because this was his show.
Rigo Sanchez will put it down. He'll put it down at the 43-yard line. So this, again, is a 53-yard field goal from Matt Gay. It's between the hash marks. Sanchez will put it down. Luke Rhodes will snap it. Measuring the kick is Gay, waiting on the long snap. There it is, placement. Kick is on its way. It has the distance. It's up, and it is good! Ball game! INDY!
Oh, my God, what a great win. What a great performance in crunch time, fourth quarter, and overtime. What more could you ask for?
Well, Matt Gay deserves a seat at the head table this week. That's for sure. The call is there on Colts Radio with Matt Taylor doing play-by-play. Four field goals in nasty weather conditions, over 50 yards. Five kicks total that he makes. He goes 5 for 5. But four of them are over 50 yards, including that game winner in overtime. So, yeah, that was one of those times, one of those games where your kicker is worth his weight in gold.
To be able to trust them and them to, you know, look at me and someone that in that fashion. So I think it's huge for us as a team going forward and just trying to keep stacking wins and keep improving one game after the next.
No doubt it's huge. That was the first time, I believe, in NFL history, 450-plus yard field goals. He was on fire. Glad we got him. Great kicker, obviously, and he proved it today.
Ooh, not very often. In fact, I bet we could count them on one hand, the number of times that Justin Tucker is outshined by another kicker in the same game. Lamar Jackson, 200 passing yards, another 100 rushing yards. Both of his touchdowns are on the ground, but how about that? 303 total yards in a loss for the Ravens, and this one coming in Baltimore.
We had plenty of opportunities to put the game away, especially when our defense did a great job at stopping those guys. You know, great field position, and we didn't move the ball at all. That ticked me off. You know, it ticked all of us off. We like to finish the drive. The defense did great today. They always do great, but especially today, you know, giving us that opportunity to finish the game, and we did it.
In the AFC North, with the Steelers winning on Sunday night and the Ravens loss, you've got Pittsburgh and Baltimore, friends to the end. They're both 2-1. The Cleveland Browns will get to coming up after the break, their first game without Nick Chubb. Of course, the Cincinnati Bengals play tonight. Goodness, if you didn't see... Well, and we still have to get to Texans Jaguars, because C.J. Stroud, the only rookie quarterback who was actually starting on Sunday of the three. And if you didn't see Cowboys, Cardinals, that was a stunner as well. And then the Dolphins with history on Sunday. So we're cramming in as much as we can from week three in the NFL. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, there's photos from my weekend. I was out in the elements for a long time. Also on our Facebook page, and we've got a brand new video up. We delivered, we promised, and we delivered. So check it out. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Second and 15, Watson under center with...
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
You did it, along with millions of people who prioritized their health and got vaccinated against COVID-19 to help protect against severe illness and hospitalization, too. Now let's keep it up.
Keep it up!
With this season's updated COVID-19 shot designed to help protect against recent variants. According to the CDC, you can get a COVID shot at the same visit as your flu shot if you're due for both. Ask your doctor or pharmacist to learn more and schedule on the CDC's vaccines.gov.
Keep it up!
Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Ford in the backfield. Fake handoff. Watson looking down the middle. He's got Cooper wide open for a touchdown! And Coop finally has that score with Deshaun Watson.
As you pointed out, should have been the second touchdown, but can I interest you Browns fans everywhere? It's now no Nick Chubb. It's Deshaun Watson. 27 of 33, 289 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions, a rating of 123.4.
Being able to take what the defense gives us. Don't try to do too much and
you know, last week was, you know, starting off, we didn't start off well, so, you know, not what we wanted to do, but we came in this week, and we just took it one play at a time.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. On After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Deshaun Watson had to step up with the loss of Nick Chubb, and that he definitely did. His best game as a Brown, and he finds Amari Cooper late. You hear that on the Browns radio network. Cooper with a big game, 7 catches, 116 yards, and a score. But really, this was about the defense continually slamming the door on the Titans. I tweeted this because I couldn't get over it. I refreshed the page multiple times. The Titans had a grand total of -2 rushing yards in the first half of this game. -2. And Derrick Henry had 4 carries for -7 yards. I think he finished in somewhere around the 20-yard range, but that's it. The defense was fierce, as though the defense, sparked by Myles Garrett and his 3.5 sacks, 3.5 sacks, which is why he's one of our candidates for Monday MVP, as if they knew they had to give the offense a soft place to land. And because they kept giving them short fields and taking the ball away from the Titans, the game became a whole lot easier. Jerome Ford in his first start for the Browns, he has a couple of touchdowns, a 19-yard reception from Deshaun, and also had later had a 3-yard rushing touchdown. This was an overwhelming performance by the Browns against the Titans. So they moved to 2-1. And yeah, according to Miles, this is just a glimpse of what the Cleveland defense can look like on a regular basis.
I think it's a pretty good glimpse. And it's got to keep on showing it. Like you said, it's week 3. And every week's a new week. We got to be consistent. We got to keep everybody on the field healthy. And we got to adjust and adapt to each team. Got to know the game plan and attack and execute just like we did.
And this certainly is what the Browns need from Deshaun Watson on the other side of the ball. They have to get this kind of leadership without Nick Chubb. And so if this is him stepping into that role, then that's what Kevin Stefanski needs, of course.
He made big plays, and he's a playmaker. He can make them with his feet. He can make them with his arm. I need to tell you the protection was outstanding today. I mean, outstanding. I thought our offensive line did a great job, a great, great job. So there was time back there to survey the field and find a bunch of completions.
There was only one moment in the Browns game, Browns-Titan game, with Deshaun Watson that just left me with my mouth agape. I'm sure I'm not the only one that saw this. It was early in the second quarter, and the game's tied at 3. Okay, so no one's broken out at this point. And Deshaun is under siege from the Titans. They're about midfield or so. He fakes a handoff to, I think it was Elijah Moore. He gets spun around by the defense. Moore is kind of standing back behind him 10 yards, but not really. Moore kind of like he took the fake handoff and then kind of ran away from the play so that he maybe draw defenders with him, right? And so Deshaun he spins around and then just throws the ball the other direction. Like, I don't know if it was because of the spin. I don't know if he saw Elijah standing back there and thought maybe to avoid the sack, I'll try to throw it to Elijah. Except that it just looked like he was trying to get rid of the ball, like the Bad News Bears might do. Just chuck it. Just hot potato.
We're in Cleveland. Nothing is easy here.
Just you have to find the video on social. Just Google Deshaun Watson backward pass, and it will pop up. Yeah, social media had a field day with this because it's so funny. It's like something that you would get out of Pee Wee football. I don't know if it's because he saw Elijah Moore standing over there kind of off to his right out of the corner of his eye, or if he just, all he could think about was, I'm not taking the ball down with me, which I guess is smart, but he threw it the opposite direction.
That's one of the ugliest plays I think I've ever seen on an NFL field.
Come on, it's funny, isn't it?
Oh, it's amazing. But
yeah, even NFL quarterbacks have these moments where they freak out and panic and just chuck the ball away. Some more than others. Some more than others. As for the Titans, they had all kinds of problems, especially in offense. It was really a miserable day. And honestly, haven't 2 of the first 3 games been really miserable for Ryan Tannehill totally?
They did a good job. getting pressure in the pocket pretty much all day. So, yeah, definitely tough.
Yeah, definitely tough. So the Titans fall to 1-2. They break their 8-game losing skid last week, but can't put together 2 in a row. Meanwhile, the Browns, they're right there with the Steelers, with the Ravens at 2-1, and the Bengals trying to get off the schneid. I don't know what that word means. Schneid. They're trying to get off the schneid and get their first win of the year, and they could be hanging around then max and relaxing at the bottom of the AFC North. Okay, we still have a lot to get to, but we're closing in on our goal, which is we cover every game at least once. The problem is when you've got history like we did for the Miami Dolphins, we want to cover it more than once. Take our Monday MVP vote. What? What is that? See? See, this is what happens on Monday morning quarterback when I'm trying to rush because I want to get everything done. We still have to get to Texans and Jaguars, which officially eliminated me from the survivor pool, and also Falcons and Lions because, well, it's Dan Campbell and it's Jared Goff and it's the Lions and it's our team to watch this season. But yeah, back to the Dolphins and an historic performance. So take our Monday MVP. See what happens when you circle the plane? You land it. Got it. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page. Brand new video up on our...
What's up, everybody? I'm Danny Parkins, based out of Chicago. This is my buddy Andrew Filippone. He's based out of Pittsburgh. You really got to check out our podcast, First and Pod.
Twice a week, we're going to break down the NFL after Thursday Night Football and Sunday Night Football. It's every team. It's every game. It's all 32 teams. We give you a complete picture, and we get into it. We don't kiss each other's fannies on this show.
New episodes of First and Pod available when you wake up every Monday and Friday morning throughout the football season in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, well, well. Shopping for a car?
Yep. Carvana made financing a car as smooth as can be.
Oh, yeah?
I got pre-qualified instantly and had real terms personalized just for me.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
Well, I got to browse thousands of car options on Carvana, all within my budget.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
It does. I actually wanted a car that seemed out of my range, but I was able to add a cosigner and found my dream car.
It doesn't get much...
Oh, it gets smoother. It's getting delivered tomorrow.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get pre-qualified today.
YouTube channel as well, because you kept asking and curiosity might just kill you, crazy cat.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Going to throw it. Goff back, looking deep downfield, got a man wide open. It is Sam Laporta. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. 45 yards on the connection, and the Lions are back in front. Third and goal. Lions leading by 10, looking for more. Goff takes, keeps it himself. Left side, touchdown, Detroit Lions. I see you, 16. I see you. Just a little read option there for Jared Goff.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Nobody saw that coming.
We sure did, man.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
And by that, Dan Miller and company are referring to Jared Goff running for his first touchdown as a Lion. This was one of those performances that maybe you didn't see coming. Not just Jared, but the Lions against the Falcons. It was extremely lopsided in Detroit. Jared Goff had a 45-yard deep shot for Sam Laporta. You hear that on Lions radio, and it's Laporta's first touchdown. And then middle of the fourth quarter, he caps it with a rushing touchdown. This comes after an interception, but the defense forcing a four and out. So it was really a 1-2 punch, both the offense and defense getting the best of the Falcons.
Detroit. I didn't learn anything. I got verification on what I already knew.
Well, they got back to the win column is what they did. Detroit goes over 100 yards rushing, but also over 100 yards in penalties. 10 flags for 119 yards, or this game is even more lopsided. And the defense had a lot to do with it. Desmond Ridder, welcome to the NFL. Sacked 7 times and also fumbled once. And so as you can imagine, Dan Campbell, who's tough and physical and wants kneecap biting to be a routine part of the Lions prep, he's really proud.
That was a big win. I was proud of our guys. I was really proud of the staff, you know. you know, it's not always easy to deal with me, and so they did a great job of prepping these players, and collectively, you know, wanting to bounce back after last week. You know, it was a tough loss. We played a physical, violent game. Our defense was outstanding. AG did a hell of a job, and we looked like a hungry, hungry team. We looked like a hungry, violent defense. You know, we got takeaways, we had tackles, TFLs, guys were flying around the football.
Yeah, we want to get one in front of our home fans. You know, we let them down last week and wanted to make sure we got this one for them. And, yeah, speaking of the defense, I don't think, you know, they could have played much better. They played their tails off, and ending it with a strip sack there, it's pretty impressive what they did. Kept us in that game. Certainly picked me up after the interception and did a good job.
And so Jared Goff sneakily becoming one of those quarterbacks you can't really kick around anymore. They love him in Detroit. Desmond Ridder, he's still the man for the Falcons, but he says maybe tap the brakes on crowning them kings of the NFC South.
I wouldn't say it's a rude awakening, more so just a test. And obviously, you know, we went out there and failed that test. So, you know, we were prepared. We just came out and, you know, we didn't get anything going. So it wasn't like, you know, we went out there and, you know, we're just shocked by what happened. You know, we obviously didn't go out there, you know, wasn't executing well enough. And that's where the end result comes to.
So the Falcons absorb their first loss, as do the New Orleans Saints. We'll await word on Derek Carr today. Left their game against the Packers with a shoulder injury. The Buccaneers will be on the field tonight, and they could move to 3-0 in the NFC South, though they play the Eagles. In the North, the Lions and the Packers lead the division at 2-1. Bears and Vikings are 0-3. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Yes, we have one last game to get to, and maybe I saved it because it's a stake in my heart. Producer Jay said to me, "Are you getting cute?" when I picked the Jaguars on Survivor Island. I considered the Niners. I didn't do it. I thought Chiefs. Okay, if I know Taylor Swift was going to be in the building, I would have picked the Chiefs. I'm a dummy. What can I say? But this was a game which you could see it coming early in the first quarter. Jacksonville was messy from the start. A missed field goal, a blocked field goal. Both of those were long attempts, but they were in the first half. And Houston is able to go for touchdowns after both because of the short fields. Damian Pierce, he was active. Brevin Jordan from CJ Stroud. And so Houston's already up by 17 at the break and making a statement. But really, the exclamation point, that loud noise, comes in the third quarter.
This is going to be inside the 10. And this is dropped, picked up by Beck. Beck still going, running to the right side. Beck has some room, 25, 30, 35, 40. He's at the 50. He's at the 45 of Jacksonville. Beck across the 30, the 20, the 15, 10, 5. Are you kidding? Rock and roll. Touchdown, Houston.
Mark Vandermeer on Houston Texans radio. I'm not sure if you heard at the beginning there, he bobbled it. He actually dropped it, picked it up, and then ran for a touchdown on the kickoff. So Andrew Beck, get to know the name Andrew Beck. And I saw this. I'm going to have to look it up because I don't want to get it wrong. But something about how he's the heaviest player with such and such to have a kickoff return.
He's a fullback.
He is a fullback. And maybe that's why he dropped it. But then he was able to pick it up. Yeah, heaviest player in NFL history. Who the hell keeps track of that? What the? Is that fat shaming?
A little bit.
Okay, that's just wrong. What in the world? Heaviest player in NFL history to return a kickoff for a touchdown. All right. Nerd alert to you too, Andrew Beck. Anyway, this is how you know it's going horribly wrong if you're Jacksonville. He drops the ball, picks it up. He weighs 255 pounds, and he still dusts you all for an 85-yard kickoff return. And I'm sure we've said this before, but welcome to the NFL, C.J. Stroud.
Key call here on third and three.
Huge call here.
Play clock down to 14. They break the huddle.
That's fine. Don't snap that baby until it's under five.
Stroud talking to his teammates. Third and three from the Houston 32. C.J. in the gun. One back. Boom. C.J. gets the snap. Here comes the blitz. C.J. firing downfield to his right. And Tank has it at the 40, the 30, the 20, 10, 5, touchdown, Tank Dell to the house.
Wow.
all-around win. Sets of teams, defense, offense, all play together. I think that just sets the tone for what we can be in this league, man. So really, really great team win.
A lot to say about C.J. Stroud, the rookie starter out of Ohio State. But first of all, he's the only one of the three rookies who was still starting in week number three. Bryce Young out because of the ankle for the Colts. I'm sorry, for the Panthers. And obviously Anthony Richardson still in concussion protocol. So here's C.J. Stroud, who's tearing it up. That 68-yarder to Tank Dell sealed the win for the Texans. Not that the Jaguars are mounting much of a comeback. But Stroud is the first player in NFL history with 906 yards passing. It's very precise. Four touchdowns and no picks. And to me, that's the big thing, that he doesn't have any interceptions through his first three games. 280 yards, a couple more touchdowns, and you can imagine D'Amico Ryans is thankful that he and CJ are hitched together there in Houston.
He's dialed in to improving every week. He's not satisfied, right? He's been a leader for us, for the offensive unit, and it's impressive to see a young man go out and continue to get better each week and lead that group.
Congratulations to D'Amico on his first win as an NFL head coach. And here's what I should have known. And I say to you sometimes, the past and history are not, they're not always an indicator of what's going to happen moving forward. I thought the Jacksonville Jaguars would not allow back-to-back losses, especially this one coming in Jacksonville. After they'd been embarrassed by the Chiefs last week on their own field, I thought there was no way that they were going to lose to the Texans, regardless of the Texans being in rebuild mode. But Jacksonville has now lost five in a row at home to the Texans, and Houston has won 16 of the past 19 in this series. Again, I don't know that history is a precursor always, but I should have known. Yes, producer Jay, I got a little bit too cute. Although Doug Peterson doesn't really know what's happening with the Jaguars right now.
It's just really hard to put a finger on it. You know, it's coaches need to coach, players need to play. Leaders need to lead. That part of it starts with me. And we've got ourselves in a little bit of a pickle here, and we've got to work it out.
I do like pickles. Yeah, Doug Peterson's a strong leader. Trevor Lawrence, obviously. They've got some great players on that roster. That's why it's such an aberration. But really, I have no excuses for myself. I got too cute. It's After Hours. Jay, don't make that face. Like, oh, well, too bad, so sad. You get what you get and you don't get upset. Jay picked the Chiefs, of course, because he somehow had insider trading that Taylor Swift would be at Arrowhead Stadium. It's After Hours with Amy
Lawrence.
No matter
what happens, that's your response. Good.
Good. CBS Sports Radio. Hey, he's one of our candidates for Monday MVP. Get to know the name Devon Achain.
Berrios in motion, the pitch to A-Chain. Off the left side, 40, 50, he's gone. 30, nobody's going to catch the A-Chain. Touchdown, Miami Dolphins.
Well, you want to see A-Chain speed at its best. What a day the rookie out of Texas A&M has had. He just outruns everybody. If you're wondering what a track meet looks like, you got a chance to see them all except Mr. Waddle today on just how fast this team is. He just runs past everybody.
70 points is crazy. Like, that's like, then all stats, like, that's like video game type stuff.
This isn't compared to anything that I've seen or been a part of. It just talks about the resilience of our team. Although we were up going into halftime, you know, I'm very proud of the guys and the way they continued to play. No one took their foot off the gas. Everyone continued to play. And, you know, that's the result that we got.
The Dolphins put up 35 in the first half. 35 in the second half against the Denver Broncos. Raheem Mostert, four touchdowns. Devon Achane, the rookie, averages more than 11 yards per play. He also has four touchdowns and goes over 200 yards, so clearly a career day for him. The Dolphins were 350 rushing yards, 6 for 6 in the red zone, nearly 730 total yards. Most points by a team since 1966, and this is without their starters in the fourth quarter, but they weren't going for the record late.
We're not trying to go out there and humiliate teams. That's just what it happened to
just what happened. Look like.
You know, trying to run the ball, trying to kill some time. You know, big plays opened up, and, you know, that's what it looked like.
Well, that was impressive. The Miami Dolphins putting up a cool 70 on the Denver Broncos. So Miami is now 3-0 and the only 3-0 team still standing in the AFC. Whereas in the NFC, you've got the Eagles and the Bucks both going for 3-0 tonight. Only one of them will survive, and then the Niners. So by the time the dust settles on week three, we will be down to just three teams that are still perfect. Enjoy your Monday. Survive your Monday. We're back tonight after football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.